to the Rockman Show. It's time for Rockman to give his opinions, his views, and his thoughts on life and rock. So grab a beer, buckle in, and get ready to rock!
Show, here we are. And that was a new band that I discovered. I guess they're not that new. They came out in 2014, so they've been around, what, 12 years? But they're called Arion, and they're from Finland, of all places. Actually, they formed in 2011. I don't know a lot about them, but I like this song. It's it kind of popped up on my feed, like I talk about every week on my YouTube, and I'm like, all right, what are these guys about? And you can kind of tell when you see the picture, like frozen before the music starts, you're like, all right, it's going to be power metal, symphonic metal, and it's got to be good for me to like it. I mean, there's so many bands that are just like a dime a dozen in that genre, and actually a lot of genres, but it's got to stand out. This one kind of stood out to me. This one's called Into the Fire. Not to be confused with Dawkins' Into the Fire. Oh, well. Why don't we play it back to back? They're nothing alike, but love me some good old-fashioned Dawkins. Let's do it. Classic Dawkins. Man, that brings back some old memories over here. It's kind of interesting. When they first came out and they were like on MTV, they had Breaking the Chains. And that was like a song that didn't really stick with me. My brother gravitated to him. He's like, oh man, these guys are great, blah, blah, blah. And then Tooth and Nail comes out and I hear Into the Fire and I was hooked. hook for the rest of the career, or not the rest of the career, but a good part of it. Unfortunately, he should hang it up. He should retire. I think they're still doing dates here and there, but last time I saw him at the Whiskey A Go Go, probably 3 or 4 years, well, 4 or 5 years ago at this point, he just didn't have the chops anymore, and I get it. I mean, you get older, you lose your voice, your chops, and he had back problems, could barely get around the stage. But the main reason I went was to see George Lynch, because he came up for like 3 or 4 songs. And it was very cool. Very cool to see those guys on stage together again. Will they ever do anything like a finale? I don't think so. At this point, I think George is... He said Lynch Mob's done, but they're still touring. I mean, they all say that, right? So, no telling what's going to happen with Lynch Mob or Dokken. But unfortunately for Don, I think that it's time he should retire. But anyway, going back to Arion, they reminded me of a band that I haven't listened to in a long time. And watching the video kind of reminded me of a song of another band called Dynasty. They had this song called Presence of Mind. And I played that song on the show, I think 2 or 3 times, but it's been several years. It came out in 2020. But man, holy cow, what a song. So, we're going to be a little music heavy at the beginning of the show. So how about some Dynasty? Presence of Mind. Let's do it. Dynasty, D-Y, it's got the Z, not the S. So Dynasty with the Z. Those guys are from Sweden. Talked to Nils Molland several years ago. Great guy. And I remember talking to him about that video and how great a video for Presence of Mind, where they're just headbanging. It's so cool because they're in this like circle thing. They're all headbanging. The drums just like chilling out on the drums, not doing anything major. It's really cool. So if you like the song, check it out. Nils also sings for Aramonthe, and I looked up, and apparently Arion has worked with the Aramonthe people, at least one of the other vocalists. So had a little bit of a tie-in, a little twist over there. But anyway, man, guys, I have a great interview at the end of the show tonight. This one I've been looking forward to for a long time. This guy is a guitar player. It's just phenomenal. Huge fan. And luckily got the chance to talk to him. We're going to talk to Harry Cody, formerly of Shotgun Messiah and now in Zan Cody. So you're going to hear a little bit of Zan Cody tonight, a little bit of Shotgun, and find out what he's been up to. He's been up to a lot. Unfortunately, we didn't get to talk long enough to dive into a couple other areas with him, but we may in the future. Anyway, guys, I am thirsty, Mr. G. John? You okay, dude? You need to stop smoking your fucking vape.
Don't worry about me and my vape. Just worry about my segment, motherfucker.
Yeah, you got your segment tonight. So, yeah. Lay off the vape or something, or whatever you're doing. It's giving you a cough. It's concerning.
Oh, you're very good at me.
Not really. No. But, hey, let me drink my beer. All right, got a good one tonight. This one's from, I'm going to butcher the name, Autodidac Brewing Company. But the name of the beer is called Colossus. Oh my God, it's a triple IPA. What am I doing over here? 10% ABV? Who would do this late at night? Me. Only me. So I tell you what this thing's got. Eggers. Oh, I love Eggers. Nelson. And Motueka hops. All right, let's pour this bad boy, see what it looks like. I got a feeling it's going to be amazing. But you never know. You never know. So it's funny, I went to a brewery tonight. Went to one of my run clubs. And the brewery used to be great. I mean, solid. And something happened. They kind of got into that mode of overextending. Bought another brewery. And unfortunately, the quality's gone downhill. And actually, their selection. So, you know, going from one of my top breweries in Houston to not the bottom, but the more mid-tier, it's sad because they used to be so great. But anyway, enough about them. Let's talk about Colossus. The beer is beautiful, as you could imagine. It's kind of a pineapple-y orange. It's like a kind of golden, like yellow meets orange, like a pineapple orange juice. It doesn't look super thick, though. It's hazy, very hazy. A little bit of lacing on the glass, not really sticking, a little bit. Let me do an aroma check. Oh, it smells great. It smells great. I don't know how rich and creamy it'll be. I hope it will be, but it smells like it could be a little bit thin, but very citrusy. So clink myself. Oh, wow. Wow. That's better than I thought. I thought it was going to be a little more thin. It's really rich and creamy. Holy cow, that's really nice. One more drink. Oh, yeah. Nice. John, you know what to do.
Dun-dun-dun.
All right. Let's get into another song. We'll play you something new. I actually want to play you something interesting that I discovered a little bit earlier today. And these guys, it was so funny. I was working, and I had the YouTube on. And so it was like on a kind of rotation type thing where it's just playing random shit. And I'm like, I hear this band. I'm like, it sounds like Wasp, but not really Wasp. So I thought, I've seen something online or on YouTube basically saying it's an AI Wasp song. Brand new Wasp, but it's AI. Because we all know Blackie can't sing anymore. And I was like, oh, what is this? I mean, the rhythms are pretty good, but I was like, it's not totally Blackie. So I open up and I'm looking. I was like, oh, fuck, this is a real band. And it was so funny. The singer looks like Eric Bloom from Blue Oyster Cult from back in the day when he was young. So the band is called Toxicol. And we're going to play a song called Midnight Fire. Let's do it.
Lovely.
you guys think? I think I heard Blackie Lawless. I don't know. There are parts, not all of it, but this Toxicool, I may have to check more of them out. So, just posing a question out there, because Wasp is now on tour with KK's Priest. And a lot of people say, hey, Bragman, you gotta go. And I had tickets to go a couple years back and had to travel for work, so I missed it. And I want to say it had MSG on the bill. And I've never seen Michael Schenker live, which I was like dying. And I was like, this would be a great way to see it. But now there's been other tours with like Armored Saint. There's good lineups. So this year's no exception. You got KK's Priest. And I've heard amazing things about KK Live. And last time he was scheduled to come to Houston, something happened. So, unlike Rush, not postponed, it was canceled. And you got your money back and all that stuff. Unless you bought from SeatGeek. Oh! But anyway, my question is, do you go see Wasp if Blackie Lawless is just lip-syncing? Somebody asked me tonight, it's like, are you going to go? I was like, I can go up there and lip sync. I can learn the lyrics and lip sync just like Blackie Lawless. He looks cooler than I do doing it. But, if I'm going to go see him, I want to hear him sing. But, I just talked about Don Dokken. If he's singing like Don Dokken is now, probably not. Some of these guys just don't get it. It's just like, I can't retire. And I get it. I don't know if you need a paycheck or it's just in your blood and you're like, I've got to do this. I've got nothing else but playing music. Yeah, I love and respect that. Don't get me wrong. That's honorable. But if you can't do it anymore, then it's time to maybe find another job if you didn't save your money from the 80s or 90s. I don't know. That's just me. But I tell you what, let's play some classic Wasp. Why don't we do something off? I think this is on the EP before the first record. This one's called Show No Mercy. Let's do it. For that, Toxicool. What do you think? I like Toxicool and I love the old Wasp as well. It's a shame, like I mentioned a little bit ago, that Blackie just can't do it anymore, but a lot of these guys can't. When they get to a certain age, the vocal cords kind of like wear out, just like your knees. I can't run anymore, people. No, I can't run at all. And I got problems with my back. No one wants to hear about that, though. Or maybe somebody, I'm not sure. If you really care, text me or email me or whatever. And I'll let you know what's going on with my back, my legs. You're like, you old fuck. Yeah, I'm an old fuck. I get it. Always said I'm young. I am young, but there's some stuff falling apart now. It's not falling apart, just kind of wearing out, if you will. I don't know. I still love to rock and I still love my great beers, I will tell you that. But that said, I've got a great interview tonight. Harry Cody, Shotgun Messiah. They've been gone a long time. And it's kind of interesting. I want to play some stuff a little bit before we jump into the interview. So they break in the U.S. in 1989. They were formed in like 85. Tim Skold, the bass player, and Harry Cody were the main guys. And then they got Styx and then eventually Zinni Jan. There was a guy before Zinni. And I guess they got rid of him before they broke in the U.S. So they come out in the U.S. They did. There's hair band, type thing, but a little bit different. Doing a little bit of rap, a little bit of hard rock stuff, and then Zinni leaves. And we'll get into that with Harry a little bit shortly, and why he left and what happened. I've read some stuff, heard some stuff. It sounds like it was a problem. And they're like, you know what? We can't do this with you anymore, so we're going to keep going. The good thing was is Tim Gold could sing. So, and he does some of the singing on the first record. I mean, just like he'll do some vocals, but then he was the guy, right? So, good stuff. But the second record, Tim Gold comes out and does a lot of stuff on, he sings everything on Second Coming. What a great record that was. I'm going to do my favorite song off the record. It's a ballad. Get your Kleenex out and all that stuff. This is called Living Without You. And it kind of struck a personal, would you say, nerve? It struck something with me. Because I listened to this song a lot when I was going through my divorce. I'm like, fucking A, yeah, fuck you, man. Before I met my ex, I think this song came out. I'm not 100%, but it totally fit towards the end of my relationship with her. So I tell you what, Living Without You was by Shotgun Messiah. Let's do it.
I walk the streets alone at night. A shadow in the city light. I didn't know that love could hurt. How little broken hearts are worth.
What a great song. I love it. Oh, so awesome, man. So awesome. It's kind of interesting because Tim Gold's not playing with Zinni and Harry. You'll hear more about that here in a few minutes. But bad blood between Zinni and Tim. Not sure what's going on. Didn't get a lot of information out of Harry. He gives us a little bit. So, wait with bated breath over there. But I just checked, and on YouTube, Tim is still performing that song live. Unfortunately, it's not the same. I mean, you need Harry in there with the guitar and stuff like that. But just an amazing song. And I got to say, it struck a note with me. When I first heard it, I loved it. But at the end of my marriage, it was like, oh my God, I love this. I love what the words say to me. And I'm not a big lyric guy, as you guys know. But that's one where the lyrics kind of came home for me. And I dug it. So anyway, after that, they get into grunge. Industrials like pick it up. And they're like, okay, we're not going to go grunge. So let's get heavy. Let's mix it up a bit. And they put out a record called Violent New Breed. Which, at the time, you listen, you're like, oh, what is this? You know, this isn't Heartbreak Boulevard. This isn't anything off the first record. This is something way different. And I got to say, when I listened to it back then, I was like, oh, wow, what happened? But actually, it's one that I'm going to put back in the rotation because after talking to Harry, he's like, that's my favorite record from the band. I'm all these spoiler alerts already. Sorry, still listening to the interview. Promise you'll love it. But I was like, oh, wow, why don't I play a song real quick? So before we get into the interview with Harry, let's do a little bit of his history. This one's called Enemy in Me off Violent New Breed. Let's do it.
I can feel my body is beginning to rebel now.
see a major departure from what they were doing, where it was more melodic hard rock, great guitars, big guitars up front, just something a little bit more industrial. So again, we get into this with Harry, but I'm just setting the stage, if you will, turning on the spotlights, if you will, for what's to come, which I know you're going to dig the interview. Harry's so cool. This amazing guitar player. And then after the second record, you're like, what happened? Where'd he go? So we'll catch up with him and figure out a lot of stuff.
Hey, what about my segment?
Your segment?
You make it last week, you approve.
I did approve it. I'm sorry, but we're running out of time this week. We have this great interview coming up from Harry Cody with Sam Cody. What do you think about that?
He's a pretty badass guitar player by far. But what about me?
Yeah, you're great too in your own way.
What's that supposed to be?
Don't worry about it. Hey, I stole one from you.
Fuck you, motherfucker.
So anyway, guys, next week you will get an exclusive with John. I know you're all waiting with bated breath. But before I jump into the interview, I want to play another song. And this is a band I just discovered, and they're kind of kicking my butt a little bit. At least this song is. The band's called Voodoo Queen. And this song's called Bright Cage. Man, I gotta say, I'm really digging it. So why don't we do a little bit of Voodoo Queen? And I'll come back, wish you well, and then we'll get to Harry. Let's do it. What a great song, man. I love it. It starts and you're like, oh, God's kind of, I don't know about this tone. And then 30 seconds in or so, it just kicks into that cool jam, that riff. And the girl singing's got a great voice. Melodic, heavy. Love it. Love it. I hope you guys dug that too. I really wanted to play that for y'all. I was like, oh, fuck, I don't want to put it at the end of the show and not say nothing about the band. I don't know anything about them, but I will check more of their stuff out. And who knows? Some point they could be on the Ragman Show. You never know. You never know. But anyway, I've got a great interview coming up with Harry Cody from Shotgun Messiah and now Zan Cody and also Rhino Bucket. I also played with Tom Waits. Great.
Hey, I thought criminals made a lot of money, Monty. You live in this dump?
Hey, I'm using it for the office. My mother lives here. I got a place in Long Island.
That's crazy, Tom Waits. I know Tom Waits from the Queen's Logic movie. Yeah, there he is right there. Monty. But anyway, guys, thank you for listening every week. Thanks for your comments when you send them. And I want to give you one big hose.
Hey, this is Harry Cody from Shotgun Messiah, Zan Cody, and Rhino Bucket. You're listening to the Ragman Horns Up.
Alright guys, you're on live with Ragman, Mono Willie Mono, with this guy. Holy shit, when he came out in 1989, and I saw that, I don't know if it's a 7-string Ibanez, neon green, pink, is sitting behind him right now. I was like, who the fuck is this guy? And I want to hear more, because he can play so awesome. And he has not been around for a bit. I mean, he has been, but not in the metal spotlight, hard rock spotlight. But he's back with a vengeance in a new band called Zan Cody. I'm talking to Harry Cody. It's an honor to talk to you, Harry.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I hope that intro was okay. I was going off the fly a little bit.
Sure.
So, Harry, let's talk. We'll do a little bit of history, and then we'll jump into the new record. So, you know, the band kind of hit the scene here in the U.S. in '89, was shouted out, and like I said, that video came out, and all of our jaws dropped to your guitar playing and your tone, everything. You're just so talented. And then I want to ask you this, because I'm not real sure what happened, but Zinni left after the first record, or I'm not sure how the departure happened, but then Tim Skoll takes vocals after that, but how did that all transpire with Zinni leaving after the first record?
Well, we were all young and cocky and had strong opinions about everything. So we weren't getting along with Zinni. So he had to go. And then Tim was, of course, the bass player on the first album. And it just came to be that we thought it would be better if the songwriting core of the band was singer guitar player, same as Plant Page or Steven Tyler, Joe Perry, that kind of a thing. So Tim took over vocal duties, and that's why and how that came to happen.
Well, you know, he did kind of sing a little bit, especially Shouted Out, in the backing vocals. So it was a logical choice. I mean, the guy's got a really good voice, and I think on Second Coming, I love that record. I think you guys nailed it with that record. And I mean, the first record's great too, but just a great second sophomore effort. And then you just switch gears, and I think a lot of it had to do with the climate of grunge coming in, stuff like that, and you go industrial. So I've always been curious. It's like, man, it's like the brakes. You hit up the brakes and like, all right, we're taking a deep wide curve here, and you bring that out to us. What was the thought? Was it just because the industry was changing, or were you guys kind of tired of doing more of the melodic hard rock at that point?
We weren't necessarily tired of it. We just, you know, we've never written songs with a specific genre in mind. It's always been whatever we like. But it was clear after Second Coming that the musical climate was changing. There wasn't really a future in that kind of a sound anymore. The industry wasn't interested, and neither was the audience, really. So when Tim and I lost the rhythm section right before we started recording the third album, we thought, well, we could replace them and, you know, try to make Second Coming Part 2, or we could try something completely different. Just he and I in the studio, just going crazy with drum machines, samples, make our wildest dreams come true, and that's what we decided to do. We definitely weren't going grunge or anything, so we just pursued this kind of angle that we've toyed with ever since the very first album. You can hear bits and snippets of it, but we didn't know how to implement it fully. We didn't know how to pull it off live. So it wasn't until the third album, when we had no choice, that we had to figure out how are we going to do this. And I think we did it to the max, and I think we did it great. Actually, that third album is my favorite Shotgun Messiah album. So some people who don't like it, sorry, listen to it again, give it a shot. It's good stuff.
Well, I'll agree with you there, because I think if something comes out and at the time you're like, what the fuck, what happened? And then you go back and listen, you're like, oh my God, that was a masterpiece. It's a really good, strong record, great songwriting, everything. And I guess to your point, you know, grunge hit that area, but also bands like Ministry were gaining steam too in the industrial area. So I know Tim kind of followed that path of industrial music, and then you've kind of done different things here and there, going forward. But I real quick on Violent Breed, did you guys tour with that record?
We did. We put together a band of misfits and went on the road for it. But there was absolutely no support from Relativity Records at that point. We ended up getting dropped after just a couple of months after the album was released. So most people didn't notice. Most people didn't catch that tour. But once again, it was good stuff. I wish you'd been there.
How did just real quick with the date you did, what was the reaction between the different styles? I mean, did you mainly focus on the new material that was more industrial, or and then maybe play some of the earlier classic stuff, or did you mix it all together? I'd just be curious set list wise.
Yeah, mostly the new album at that point, and we added some, of course, you know, we couldn't not play Heartbreak Boulevard, for instance. So we gave them a bit of an industrial shine up to fit in with the other material. So there were some songs, but mainly we were concentrating on the new sound. That was the same. We'd done the same thing when we went on tour for Second Coming. On a couple of gigs, we did Don't Care About Nothing from the first album, but mainly we concentrate on what we're doing at that time, because that's what we're excited about.
Oh yeah, that's cool. I love that you have that musical integrity as a musician to say, hey, we're going to do what makes us happy.
Yeah.
So I know I really appreciate that from musicians. So I guess back in 2012, there was sort of a reunion with Zinni, but you weren't a part of it and neither was Tim. When Zinni left, if there was some bad blood or whatever, but were you talking to Zinni at that point to say, hey, you know, we can't do it now, I'm obligated with other obligations, or was that just him saying, I'm going to go out as Shotgun Messiah?
Actually, they just called it Shotgun.
Oh, okay.
They didn't add the Messiah part because they figured it's only half the band. It's just Sticks on drums and Zinni on vocals with some very capable other musicians. I actually liked what they did, but that was more of a tribute to the first album, more so than a reunion. So, there had been plenty of bad blood. Tim and I weren't even asked to join that effort. There was an effort to have the first lineup reunite for some gigs a couple of years after that, but that fell apart because it became clear that Zinni and Tim are not going to be sharing the same space together, and I think that still stands. So yeah, that's never going to happen.
Okay, well, that took away one of my questions, if Tim was going to be involved in the Zan Cody project here. So let's fast forward to Zan Cody. So how did this come together? Was this, you know, did you start talking to Zinni again? It's like, hey, we should do something, or, you know, he reached out to you, or did you reach out to him?
He reached out to me, and it was more of a mending of fences for a few years. We were just, you know, exchanging pleasantries, talking about what we were up to in life, that kind of thing. And then a little while back, Zinni asked me, so would you be interested in doing some stuff with me? And at that point, I was like, yeah, you know what? I always respected his knack for hooks. He always had a great, great mind for hooks, and I love his voice. It reminds me of Phil Lynott from Thin Lizzy. You know, he had, of course, he had the screams in the 80s. You know, he had the high-pitched screams. Now he just more sings in a Phil Lynott-y voice. So I was very eager to explore that, see if we had any common ground, see if we could find some stuff that... that we agreed upon. So it started very low key. He sent me a couple of ideas. I sent him a couple of ideas. We worked on it. And before you knew it, we had an album's worth of material. And we're like, okay, let's shop this and see if anyone's interested. And Frontiers came through. So here we are.
That's awesome. So guys, Zan Cody comes out on Frontiers on July 24th. So here in a few weeks. It's called Beautiful and Damned. So actually, one of my questions too is, you know, was any of this material left over from when you guys worked previously together? Is it all freshly written based on these ideas you just talked about with Zinni?
None of the material we were working on in the Shotgun Messiah days. But the second single and the lyric video for Sever, that's a song I actually wrote in the 90s that was like a solo project of mine. And I always thought that, you know, that kind of, that, those vocals would fit Zinni's voice really well. So I had him try it out and see, would you be interested in doing this one? And he loved it. So we did that. But mostly it's just new material that we bounced back and forth and honed until ready.
Well, I think Sever's a great way to open the record. And I love the production by Chris Laney. He's such a great producer, but up-tempo, heavy, in your face. I like the little things. I don't know if you had this scratching of the pick on the strings, kind of remind me a little bit of Heartbreak Boulevard in a few spots. I don't know if that was kind of a nod to that era, but what a great way to open up the record and say, hey, we're back. I love it.
And Zinni would want me to point out now, actually, Chris Laney only mixed the album. Zinni and I stand as producers. So, he was brought in, Chris Laney was brought in kind of late on the project. Zinni said, I have a friend who does really good mixes. So we gave him a shot and he contributed greatly to the sound. But mostly... the sonic picture was already decided upon when he came into it.
Oh, nice. Well, you guys did a great job.
Thank you, man,
for real.
Thank you.
As soon as I heard Sever, I was like, holy shit, man. It just hits you in the face. And yeah. That's what I was hoping for with you guys getting back together. My favorite song right now is Let's Be Heroes. Oh, my God, dude. That mid-tempo, that melody, the catchy chorus. I can't get it out of my head. That should be a single. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, we feel good about every song on the album, so we leave that to Frontiers. You know, they know more than us about how to market an album. So if they're listening, if they want to make it a single, we're all for it. Yeah, that's a Zinni song. He wrote that as a tribute to one of his heroes, David Bowie. So all of the lyrics are an homage to David Bowie and his song titles and such. So,
oh yeah, I kind of got that too. I hadn't just sat down and tried to. I'm half deaf, so I need to be able to read lyrics. But Let's Be Heroes for a Day. I was like, oh, I love Heroes is one of my favorite Bowie songs ever. So I get it. There's one twist, or there's a couple twists on the record. I want to give you a compliment again that I think the record flows very well. Let me ask you this. Were you guys very involved in the track listing on the way you listed all the tracks on the record? Because I like how it flows. There could be an up-tempo, a mid-tempo, maybe a ballady type thing. Were you?
Zinni and I were bouncing ideas back and forth for the sequencing, because that is a very important part of how you want to be heard. So we take that seriously too. You know, we sit down and we figure this song should blend into that song, and you may notice tempo wise that there are similarities to stuff we did already back in Shotgun Messiah, where it starts out with one barn burner of a song, mm-hmm. and then it goes into a heavy but somewhat slower song. And so we had that in mind. And also, you want the whole album to end with a banger, and I think that Tear It All Down does just that.
It's a great song, man. It leaves the fan or listener wanting more.
Yeah.
It really does. I did want to ask you about Bad Bad Man, which took me, I was like, wow, I didn't expect this. Bluesy, you play a little slide guitar. Nice song, man.
Thank you. I'm faking slide. That's just the whammy bar.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. It sounds like a slide.
Thank you. I specialize in trying to fake stuff like that. There's a fake harmonica intro to She Walks With Violence. It sounds like harmonica. Uh-huh. It's really just guitar. So I do those little tricks. That's kind of at least half of my brand. But yeah, Bad Bad Man, we needed one more song for the album at the end of it, and we had used up all our drum budget already, so mm-hmm. I knew that it was going to be a song that relies just on samples. So there's sampled stomps, sampled hand claps as the rhythmical backdrop, then there's that fake slide guitar, and then kind of a chain gang or gospel sense of call response, where mm-hmm. Zinni sings something, a choir answers him back, and so it draws upon my interest in old-timey music, so it does have that bluesy feel to it, and it reflects in the lyrics too. I throw in the reference of selling your soul at the crossroads. So
yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Another song with I think is going to kill live for you is I'm the Shit. Kind of a really great anthem. And I know you guys played Sweden Rock. I don't know if you played that one. Tell me a little bit about that song. And if you played that live, let me know how the reaction was from the fans.
We played it at Sweden Rock, and we played it in the same order as the album. We started out the concert with Sever, then we go into I Am the Shit. So it went over really well. And it's supposed to be a slam bang anthem, you know,
yeah.
with the big group chants and noisy loops and stuff. So yeah, that one went over well, and I really like it. It's got a crazy outro guitar solo. I like it when I get to go wacky in the end choruses. So
I guess I need to bring up the single. One of the first singles, Damn. And you did the video for it. And I was kind of curious. I don't know if you and Zinni are living in different areas, countries, cities, or whatever. But you look like you're in L.A. on one of those, like, throughways with the waterway. And then he could have been in Sweden. I'm not sure where he's at, but great video. Another great song. Just like, hey, we're back. This is what we're doing now.
Absolutely right. I shot my scenes in downtown Los Angeles, standing in the LA River, which, you know, from countless movies and that kind of thing. And then Zinni, who is clear on the other side of the planet in Stockholm, Sweden, had to find locations that would match that. So he found this graffitied part of town where he shot his scenes. But this was actually before we had met. Like, the first time we met in over 30 years was when I flew to Sweden for Sweden Rock. We had like a few days to rehearse, and that was that. But by the time, around the time we shot the video for Dam, he and I had never been in the same room together since 1990.
Wow. Wow. What was that like, just seeing the guy for the first time in, what, 30 years?
It's like a reunion of brothers. It was a really, really warm, nice feeling to finally get to meet him again, because whatever bad blood there was, you know, cooler tempers have prevailed since. A lot of water has flown under the bridge. So all that's left is the mutual respect and our shared love for our type of music.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Well, let me ask you this. What was it like playing live with him again and actually playing some of those old Shotgun songs that you hadn't probably played in 30 or maybe not that long, but 20 something years?
Yeah, it felt like I'd never been away, really. It's so comfortable. I trust them implicitly, so I don't even have to look at what he's going to do on stage other than, you know, whatever interplay we choose to do, but I'm not worried about him holding up his part of the deal at all. So it's a very comfortable atmosphere, great musicians overall. So it was just very, very natural to go on stage with the band.
That's awesome. Well, last song I want to bring up, and this is another just favorite of mine, is Ride or Die, melodic up-tempo. I love the midsection where you kind of slow it down and then you go to like the clean guitar and then the solo. Awesome, man. Great
Thank
solo.
You. Thank you. Yeah, that's one of those things where I had a phrase that, you know, ride or die. People say that a lot. And
yeah.
I the lyrics kind of presented themselves automatically when you put yourself in that mindset. So I think that song turned out really well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And you know, I could go over every song on the record because I really love this record. It's really struck a nerve with me from the first listen to where I'm at now. And now I'm just wanting it more and more and more. I want to add it to Spotify, but I can't yet. I only got a couple singles. So.
Okay.
But let me ask you this, as far as touring, and you have obligations with Rhino Bucket. I'm not sure how busy they are right now, but are you guys going to try to do some more dates or just kind of wait and see how the record does?
We We will try to get all the dates we can, and I'm leaving that up to Zinni. He's doing that from Stockholm, from his home base there, because he's got the connections from gigging all this time while I was hunkered up in my home studio, you know, shut off from the rest of the world. So he is more connected with what goes on, and as soon as the album comes out, we hope to be able to present a lot more dates. I know that I'm going back to Sweden in late October. We have a string of dates there.
Oh, nice.
Then so hopefully I'd love to play in other places of Europe too, because with Shotgun we never got the opportunity to tour there. So I know there are fans in Britain who have never seen me play live, for instance, and I'd love to do that.
Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask this question. Since you're here in the U.S. and Zinni's a flight away, would you guys consider doing some U.S. dates, or would I would assume you'd have to get on at least on with somebody of that, you know, maybe back in the day or whatever, to go out and try to do some dates?
Yeah, the hard part would be to get enough money from a promoter to make it worth our while to fly not only Zinni, but the other band members to the States, and to get that infrastructure going. But obviously, they want to do that, and we want to tour the States, and we'd love to play at a place near you. So there it is.
Come to Texas. I'm giving you an invitation right now. Okay. Houston, Texas, we will be waiting for you.
Always had a good time in Houston.
Yeah, I've seen you, man. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Well, Harry, before we let you go, is there anything you want to tell the fans out there?
The album comes out July the 24th. I am so eager to hear what you all think of it, and be loud about it. If you like it, let everyone know. If you don't care so much about it, give me a shout.
There you go. Well, guys, just like Harry said, Zan Cody comes out on Frontiers on July 24th. Beautiful and Damned, that's another great song on that record. But Harry, it's been an honor to talk to you again. A big fan, back from the 80s. First time I saw you play the guitar in that video, I was like, holy cow, this guy's amazing. But
Thank you. Before
we let the fans go, we need to do something very special for them.
Horns up!